Welcome to the Angry Admins Podcast for October 9th, 2007, episode 45. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Angry Admins Podcast. My name is Joe Bibby.
And my name is Ryan Angry Necessary.
And as always, we are coming to you from Houston, Texas. It's cooling off a little bit here, but it's still pretty warm and muggy. Hopefully everybody is a little bit cooler than we are here. It's living in the swamp has its bad sides.
We're about to get some fronts. It's supposed to dry out a little bit, cool off.
So yeah.
Hopefully this week.
We'll see. They keep telling me that.
Right. It keeps not ever happening.
Well, let's get to it. This week we're going to talk a little bit about, I guess we would call it cable horror stories.
Right.
Why don't you go ahead and, get started with that, Ryan?
Yeah, so this past week I've been dealing with, a lot of cabling and it just was on my mind that, we should just, relate a few stories about bad cables, network cables, power cables, whatever. So what reminded me is mowing around my cable TV cable, which is still on the grass in my backyard after 2 months. So I got to yell at Comcast, but they deserve it because they suck.
They do.
Anyway, so back to network cabling. I'm going to start with this one anecdote. And the nice thing is that Joe is like the inheritor of the suckiness of this story. And he doesn't even know it yet, but it will become obvious.
Yeah.
So this is about 4 years ago. I got some guys in a lab, and they call me, "Oh man, my PC's not working. I can't get email. I can't do anything. I need to wipe and load, man. I need to just reinstall Windows or something." So I go in there, and of course, that's not it. Which I never suspect that's what they need.
Right.
So I start looking, and I was like, "Well, did you reboot?" "No, I didn't reboot." So, I went ahead before the reboot and tried to ping the router, which I could not. I was like, this is not good. So his IP address and stuff looked good. So I said, all right, let's do a quick reboot. Rebooted, same stuff. So I start the cable on the back of his computer. It looked pretty new and shiny. It was a nice blue, Belden cable with, for Cat5e.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, this cable, it's pretty new looking. So I was like, well, who knows what happened? Because we have some older switches. And at the time in that room, there was an older switch underneath the floor, underneath the raised tile. I thought, well, some of these older switches are three comms, and some of them die one port at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you just pull it and you plug it into the next port, and it gets you by for a while. So I start pulling the floor tile, and there's no light on the port. So I was like, this is not good. I triple check, make sure I have the right cable. I'm tugging on it, and you do the tug test where you jerk on the cable and you see if the guy's PC moves on his desk. You totally do the wrong thing.
Right.
So I started pulling some more floor tiles, and I kind of traced the cable, and the thing had been almost completely chewed in half by a rodent.
Oh, no.
So, and I was like, I can't believe this. And then I started looking around the office, and then it became all too obvious.
Mm.
Because on every desk is a moldy sandwich, Coke spilled on the chair, ants in the trash can, just food and food residue and stuff all over this whole room. And it wasn't just one user. It was several of them all
right
together.
Yeah.
And it was a small room with a lot of guys packed in, so it just made it that much worse. So I was like, all right, you cannot have food out like this, and then not have this problem, because the animals are going to come in here looking for the food, and they're going to chew everything, including these cables.
Yeah.
So I swapped out the cable, and then I want to say it was probably 6 months later, same thing, same room.
Wow.
With the next guy over, chewed cable. So I was like, oh man, forget it. So they still had food out, they don't learn.
Yeah.
So I made a call to facilities, and they were going to put some rat poison or whatever. But so the Joe's part in this tale is that now these are the guys of the fire ant guys.
Oh man. Yeah, that man. I think we've actually got that problem solved now.
Right.
I finally beat them over the head and put enough traps down.
But so let me fill in the blanks for the listeners. So these users, they were in one of my labs.
Right.
And then Joe built a whole new lab in another building, and these users went there.
Right.
So he's the inheritor of my lost children.
Right. And, this was, We redid a lot of that room, so it was very clean when they moved in. And they managed still within, I think it was only a couple months, to have an invasion of ants very quickly. And it was clear what the ants were going for because the food was on the ground and they were surrounding it.
Right. I don't know why these ants are here. Maybe it's the Oreo they're taking away. Maybe that's it. I mean, I'm no naturalist here, but
Oh man,
that's funny. So that's all right because you got the Roomba versus the ants.
That's true. Now, right? That's true. We just stick the Roomba on it and it takes them out.
That's awesome. So like ants versus Roomba is kind of like, you know, Tom Cruise in the War of the Worlds with the big robots like coming after all the little people creatures. So it's being played out on a smaller scale.
That's right. There. That's right.
So that's cool. But so. Later, that was like the year of the rat in Chinese horoscope years in our building, because later that fall, there's like a big hangar where we have some big stuff happening. Mm-hmm. And, across the big concrete floor, there's some big trenches with these metal trench covers, mm-hmm. and like a lot of the piping and cabling gets run underneath those. So we had the same problem. We had problems with rats chewing. That time it was fiber optic. You know, the nice, the rubber-coated fiber-optic cables. So they wouldn't chew through the cable. They would just chew the coating mm-hmm. off the cable, and it would cause problems. And because then it's getting wet. And,
I'm sure
they were damaging the fiber, too. But we replaced all that fiber. And then there was another situation where one of the guys was moving, like, one of the trench covers, and it, like, slipped in there, mm-hmm. and it pinched one of the cables, or they dropped something, or they were tugging on it and it wasn't strain relieved, and they put a kink in some cables. Mm-hmm. So after that, they were like, well, what can we do? So they decided to get some of the armored fiber, you know, which for any kind of sort of, because that's kind of in the wild, because out there in that hangar, it's like it's a ground level, and there have been times when it sort of flooded with either rainwater or a pipe burst or whatever. Mm-hmm. And anytime you got rodents plus the elements plus dirt plus whatever, you know, it's time to like graduate up to some serious armored fiber.
Right.
So it's, you know, do as good as you can. And ever since they went to armored fiber,
no problems.
No, man. So far, no problem.
Yeah, that armored fiber stuff is pretty crazy. It can handle a lot of pounds on it in one little area. We actually looked into that for when we went to the desert. Mm-hmm. What was that year? 2 years ago?
Yeah, fall. A year ago. Those
anyway, because we were running some cables and they were just going to be sitting out on the ground. Where we were actually was cattle ranch. So we were worried about cows crushing our cables, but we looked at the weight and it still wasn't enough to stand up to a cow. So we just went with cheap stuff and bought a bunch of it in case we needed to rerun it.
Cow hooves.
Yeah, cow hooves and cables don't mix very well.
Yeah, I could understand.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's why they exterminated the buffalo, because 10,000 buffalo walking over your train track pretty much destroys the train track.
So. Yeah.
Plus, they didn't want the Indians having any food.
Well, and it tasted good.
Yeah, that's true. Because you got to have the big buffalo coat, right? Even when it's hot outside. Oh, those crazy settlers. Good times. But, so to continue with the cabling, there was another lab where I had just started there. And at the time, I only had one room. This was back in my days of naivete when mm-hmm. I left shift work and I was going back on straight days. I was like, oh, this is so nice. It's low stress. I just got one little room full of computers to deal with. And it was a bunch of Suns, mm-hmm. a couple of SGIs, and, you know, nothing, no big deal. So I was like totally relaxing. And I was like, I had a lot of time on my hands. I was like, you know what? I'm going to clean up the cabling because I bet it looks bad. So I grabbed the floor tile puller. These are like the old carpeted tiles. I start pulling them up. And it looks like layers of cables. And they used to have like all these SGI systems with these giant, thick RGB video cables.
Right.
So that was all over the room because they had moved these SGI systems a few times. Mm-hmm. So all that video, all that RGB was down there. Then mm-hmm. all of the associated networking had gone in first with the RGB on top of it. And then they moved the computers so they laid more network on top because it was too much trouble to move all the cables. So imagine this repeating itself like time and time and time and time again.
It's like Rome.
Yes. They just literally built up. They never cleaned any of the old foundation away. So this introduced me to the field of sysadmin archaeology, network archaeology, of like going back through time. So, like in archaeology, they have like the law of serial position, which is like the oldest stuff is on the bottom. Mm-hmm. You know, it makes sense.
Sure.
You know? So it's like when you're looking for something on the pile of papers on your desk, you're like, well, that was 3 weeks ago. So you start digging down, like, oh yeah, here it is. But it was the same way with that. And like I pulled up the tiles and I was looking at the stuff, and one of the old managers walked by and he was like, oh, hey, I remember that. That was from the blah, 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 blah. And I was like, yeah, thanks for not cleaning it up. You know? Right. So I spent like 3 weeks pulling all this old cable out, and it was nasty.
Yeah.
You know, dirty, cobwebby,
yep.
Rat droppings all on it. You know, and I'm like, this is why I went to college, so I could be playing in the dome.
Yeah.
But I pulled all that out, and I mean, you know how it is. I think when you redid your lab, you pulled out
all the old... Yeah, it wasn't quite as bad as that, but there was definitely... I mean, there was cables going from one end of the room back around, and then back, because they would just, you know, move the computer and pull the cable a little bit more. It was pretty bad, but... Yeah, I don't have quite as many good stories as you do, but there was this... The one that comes to mind when I think of, you know, cable management and disaster is... So back in my last job, you know, I was working part-time and for this small company, and they had a telemarketing room that, you know, where they would actually do telemarketing, and it was all cubicles with all the wiring in the walls of the cubicles. You know what I'm talking about?
Where, yeah.
I mean, this is power, network, phone, everything runs through the cubicle wall.
I know what you're talking about.
And it had been there for a while. I mean, you know, 5-10 years, I would say. and they moved it a lot.
Okay.
So they would move these walls around and leave the wiring in them as they moved them. So that you could see how that maybe would strain the cable a bit from time to time.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm constantly getting called up there, having network problems, and, you know, I'm realizing that I'm looking at all these old, you know, Cat 5 cables that are coming out through the wall, and they've ripped the covers off and pulled the wire right out of the wall and put a new end on it and run it right to the computer. And I mean, it's all wrong. It's all backwards. And There's Cat 5 cables with like 2 inches of cover missing, so it's just, you know, just the bare wire coming out for 2 inches and then the end piece on.
That's so,
you know, pretty pathetic stuff. But the worst thing that ever happened is I was running some cables and I was fishing them through, and I noticed that one of the power cables had come loose, and it was bare wire about a quarter of an inch from the actual structure of the cubicle wall,
mm-hmm.
which it happens to be made of metal.
Right.
Which I've heard conducts electricity quite well.
Right.
So I'm trying to be careful. I'm moving it. I'm like, you know, I probably should tell somebody about this, but then I'm going to have to stop what I'm doing, and they're probably going to make me deal with it. And I just didn't feel like it that day. It was late at night, but it was late in the day. And so I do fine, and then I walk off and go do something. I mentioned to the people to be careful because of what was going on. And then not 5 minutes later, I hear, bang!
Oh,
somebody had bumped the wall, and it moved it just enough, and it almost caused a fire. There was a gigantic spark, this big black cloud. And
wow.
It was pretty bad.
Wow, so it like arced.
Yeah, thankfully it didn't. It arced, you know, and it hit the cubicle wall. Thankfully it didn't touch the cables, because it would have fried all my switches and killed everything, but...
That's crazy.
Yeah, I learned not to mix power and network anymore, because that just doesn't work well.
Well, do you remember that day that we had the Linux server and we were cleaning up all the old extension cords underneath the desk?
Uh-huh.
So you were sitting there, I was underneath the desk. I was like, I'm sick of all this crap. So it was like, I mean, most of the computer monitors and most of the computer 110 cords are like, nowadays they're black.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there was one down there, and it was a beige one, beige computer PC power cord.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just sure that was not the server power, because it was like, why would I have plugged in the white cord into the back of the server? I just wouldn't have. That's not something I would have done. I said, this thing must be doing nothing. So I was pulling out cables left and right. Finally got to that one. I was like, bah. So, you know, the server has all the fans and stuff,
yeah,
in it. So the room just gets real quiet, and Joe's just like sipping some coffee, like looking at me. It's like, man, that was a server. And you were just like laughing. Like,
yeah, that was so funny, because
you failed.
You just kind of stood there. You were sitting there for a second, and you were like, It was just like you couldn't believe that just happened. It was so funny.
And then I started thinking of, like, you know, 60-something people all just suddenly lost their VI sessions, their licensing, and all this kind of stuff. I was like, huh, whoops. And just plug it back in.
Yeah. Oh, that was good times.
I don't know. But then later, you're like, hey, we got a spare UPS. You might want to put that server on that UPS.
Yeah.
Because you never know when you might just unplug the server again. I was like, ah, we've been up for 60 days. It was time for a reboot anyway.
Yeah, that's right. It was a forced reboot. You put it in the logs. Power failure.
It was planned. I planned to pull out power that cable. Failure. I did not plan that the cable was plugged into the server when I did it.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, I tell you, it was crazy. There was one lab I remember. So I followed up after this older guy who was probably in his 60s, 70s, mm-hmm. 80s, in his hundreds. I don't know how old the guy was. He was this old grouchy sysad man, and I'm slowly becoming just like him. But he had this habit of, he would just add to the network. He would never, like, redo things or remove mm-hmm. or clean up. You know, if you need a new switch, he would just throw a new switch on the floor and add new cables, and he would just, like, add layers, you know. So finally this mm-hmm. one lab, I had some free time in the wintertime, and I started cleaning it up, and I took a big cart down there because I thought, well, there might be a couple things. I wound up filling up the cart with, like, 5 old switches.
Wow.
And like 22 cables. That was how much I pulled out of there. And it was a whole room full of stuff. And it was all still up and running when I was done.
That's
I was crazy.
Like,
this. And I showed the lab manager. I said, this is what you had under the floor that was still powered up.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, the stuff was like, I don't know how it wasn't.
Switch to switch was.
Yeah, like I don't even know how it wasn't in a loop.
So oh, right.
You know, so yeah. Because none of it was managed. And the creepy thing is, there were people in there that were still on 10 megabit. And this is only like, you know, 14, 15 months ago.
Right.
So people were in there just suffering at their desk with 10 megabit, you know, just thinking that the network was horrible.
Wow.
You know, and I don't know, man. I was like, golly. So after that, now pretty much when I pull floor tiles mm-hmm. to do work, it's like, if I'm already down here, I got to clean.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pulling anything out.
That's true.
Because the next time I come down here, it'll be easier to troubleshoot because I'll be looking at mm-hmm. less.
Well, and after hearing some of those stories from you, when I was setting up this new lab, I knew that I needed to. I mean, it took me a good full day to pull out all the old cables, and but I knew it was going to be worth it. And now I'm so glad because I know when I look under the floor, you know, the way I did it is I kind of color coded my cables, so all my I have different lengths or different colors, so I know what my backhaul cables are, and you know, you can label them too, but I found the labels just don't seem to last and fall off or whatever.
Right.
So I just decided to kind of go with this method and then created a little diagram for it. And it's been so nice to look under there and know that this is a cable going to my switch and not anywhere else.
Well, even if you don't have labels, I mean, if there's nothing extraneous there mm-hmm. and you see things
right,
plugged
exactly.
in that are either the port is dark or there's a computer way over in the corner of the room and you pull a floor tile and you got a flashlight and there's only one cable running that direction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just saved yourself so much time. Like, yep. Is it this one? Is it this one? I mean, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's nice.
You know, it's just so much nicer. So, and you, not only did you clean up, you did all new cables.
Right.
You
yeah, know, I ran so all new cables.
Too.
Yeah.
So, and you have all new switches.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a long time before that stuff starts going bad. Unless the ants build.
That's right. Unless the ants take over and decide that the switch is a tasty, delicious snack. Because they might.
Well, they are. They are attracted to electronics.
That's true. Yeah.
That's why they say in Texas, like, there's so many blinking red traffic lights
mm-hmm.
because the ants build their nest inside the traffic boxes by the side of the road.
Nice.
So we can thank fire ants
for thank all you, the fire ants.
Fatalities of traffic.
It's true. It's clearly all the fire ants.
It's fault. A war. It's a war I'm going to win because I got the bombs.
Yeah. Man, when I saw those ants, I started throwing down ant traps and I bought like 2 big cans of Raid.
Super Raid.
And then I threw the Roombas at the thing. And man, I demolished those ants.
So you should just have, like, the Roombas with, like, Raid canisters mounted on them. So they, like, crop dust little streams of Raid around the room.
Yeah, the beautiful thing of the whole thing, I probably shared this story already, but, you know, they ended up being fire ants. And so what was funny is the guys who were messy, it just happened that one of them got bit a couple times by fire ants. And, I just didn't feel bad at all about that.
Yeah, do not feed the squirrels if you don't want the squirrels to feed on you.
That's right. Well, on our way out, I want to mention just a brief news item that is going on. Since we are a sysadmin podcast, sort of, we wanted to mention that the sysadmin of the year competition has started. Saw this on Slashdot, and so if you go to sysadminoftheyear.com, you can nominate your IT hero for sysadmin of the year 2007. And while just the name alone would be worth the win, you also get a MacBook Pro, an iPhone, and a crazy awesome guitar, apparently, because the guy in the picture is holding one.
Well, that's awesome.
So, pretty cool. So, if you are listening to this and you are a sysadmin, go nominate yourself.
Yeah.
Because nobody else will.
And what's the website again?
sysadminoftheyear.com.
Okay. If you also want to check out some pictures of horrible cable incidents and horrible cabling, if you head over to sysadminday.com, there's a gallery there of cabling horrors.
Yeah, there's some good ones on
and,
there.
My favorite is still the one of the raised floor that is flooded with raw sewage and all the cables are, you know,
that
submerged.
One's nice.
So, yeah, that's good. You think your job's bad, just try cleaning that up.
Yeah.
But
well, I think that's going to wrap up the show this week. If you've enjoyed these new shortened segments with no news, let us know. If you hate it, don't let us know, because we're going to keep doing it because we like doing it this way. But again, go to our website, angryadmins.com. You can look at the archives, listen to our old shows, and go to the forum, angryadmins.com/forum, and tell us what you think about the show. So until next week, I am Joe Bibby.
And I'm Ryan Necessary.
And you guys stay angry.